If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite you to turn with me for a starting place to Philippians chapter 1. And I want to get one verse here for this morning's message, and a verse that means very much to me and has been a great comfort to me for many, many years. Philippians 1:6. Paul says that he's confident of something, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I hope that verse maybe has come across your minds in your readings sometime previously, as it has mine. Every time I see this verse as I'm reading through the scriptures, it causes me to pause and to really think about the meaning of what Paul is saying here and what he is telling the church at Philippi about our God. I'm so thankful and I am encouraged and I'm lifted up. I am given strength to go forward day by day, week by week, and year by year, to know and to have this fact and know that the God that we serve has not only begun a good work in us, but Paul says that he is confident that he will continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our God not only has started a marvelous work in each one of his children, but he has promised and he has manifested that he will continue that effort until the great day of Jesus Christ, when the family, the complete and total family of God, is once and for all gathered together to be with God and with him in heaven forevermore. What a glorious thought that we have this morning, that our God loves us to that degree, that he has promised that he would never cease from continuing the work that he started within us. That's the God that we serve. I'm thankful this morning to know that God has shared this fact with us, and that someone could not ever come along and try to teach me or to tell me that my God is not powerful enough to be able to do that. That maybe he's only hoping to do some things, or he has a desire for some things to happen. But I like what Paul has told us and taught us, is that God has much more than a desire. Paul says, I'm confident of this. Confident to me means a supreme expectation. I have every belief and expectation that this is going to come to pass. And that's what Paul says about this matter right here. He says, I'm confident of this. Now, you know, the Apostle Paul was, I'm sure, confident of many things, but I wouldn't go so far to say as he was so arrogant and so bold as to say that he's confident of all things. But here's one thing that he knows. Here's one thing that he is certain of, and it's the fact that God will always continue working for the good of his people. He will never cease. I am so comforted this morning to know that. And I just want to try to share a few thoughts with you concerning this subject. And I don't know if you've ever really thought about this, but the fact that God has begun a good work in us. I don't know if you've ever really considered, well, when did that work begin? Well, the Bible teaches us that the work that God has started within us actually began way back before the world was ever formed and spoken into existence by God. It goes that far back. Primitive Baptists have forever believed in an everlasting covenant between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. An everlasting covenant that was made between the Godhead. This is not a covenant that's made between God and man. This is the covenant within the Godhead itself. The fact that God the Son would one day take upon him the form of sinful flesh, he would come down to this sin-cursed earth, and he would take upon him all of the sins of the entire elect family of God. He would bear them on his body and in his body all the way to Calvary's cross, and he would shed his blood as an offering and as a redemption for for you and us, and he would save us and redeem us from our sin debt. That was the agreement made in the covenant that was made before the foundation of the world with the Godhead. And in Hebrews chapter 13, we read this. It says in verse 20 that now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. This one place that covenant's mentioned. It may be some others. I can think of a couple places where that covenant, I believe, is mentioned. And here is one. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, may God do that. May he make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Here's a covenant. It says that the God of peace, when he raised Jesus from the dead through the blood of the everlasting covenant, it's part of the covenant and part of the agreement that was made, is that Jesus would come down and die for the sins of his people, and his Father would raise him back to life and resurrect him. And then consequently, the Holy Spirit would, at the appropriate time for each and every one of God's little children, the Holy Spirit would apply the blood of Jesus Christ to every one of our hearts. And in fact, God would send forth the Holy Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, at the moment of regeneration for each one of his children. There's the covenant that was made. It's spoken of, mentioned in another place in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 11. The prophet says, by the blood of thy covenant. This is a blood covenant. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not animal blood. It's the blood of Christ. By the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. That sounds like a good sermon topic one day, doesn't it? By the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein there is no water. I'll tell you, there's a lot of ways to describe the condition that you and I were in and the entire family of God were in due to the fall that we experienced in Adam. A pit without water is just one of them. Another place that this covenant's mentioned is in Psalms 111 and verse 9, where the psalmist says, he sent redemption unto his people. God sent redemption to his people. He didn't offer it, he sent it. And he hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. I never saw this verse before until I was in a Primitive Baptist church many years ago, and I heard someone mention it during preaching. It was probably Elder John Conley. But the first time I ever heard this verse, when it says that he sent redemption unto his people, he hath commanded his covenant forever. I believe this is that everlasting covenant. He says, holy and reverend is his name. Do you know the reason that none of the ministry in the Primitive Baptist will ever use the title reverend? It's because of this verse. Because the word reverend applies to God's name. The very first time I ever heard that in my life, I wasn't even a member. I just begun visiting. I knew in my heart that that was true. And I said in my heart, amen. That is God's name. And so I am thankful to know that. Holy and reverend is his name. But there are three places I could think about where I believe this covenant is mentioned this morning. I'm talking about God has begun a work in us. Paul said, I'm confident of it, and he's going to continue to perform that work until the day of Jesus Christ. This is where that work began. This is way back when, before the foundation of the earth, God began this by this everlasting covenant that was made within the Godhead. And he goes on to say in verse 21, back here in Hebrews, he says, may the God of peace, that through the blood of the everlasting covenant, may he make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you. God working in you. Not someone else, but God working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory and glory for ever and ever. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, he said, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is working in you. He's working in me. He's working in all of his children. Aren't you glad to know this morning that we have an active God? Are you glad to know that our God is still active in working within his people and bringing his desires and his counsel to pass and his will to pass? I am. I'm thankful to know that our God is not passive and that he's only done as much as he could. Now it's up to me and you to try to do some other things. I'm glad that our God is still active and he is going about bringing to pass that which his will desired concerning you. And he is still working on it. Paul said, I'm confident he will always continue working it until the day of Jesus Christ, till that glorious day. This is good news to me. So God, the Godhead, purposed to provide a way for God's elect family to be saved from their sins. Well, if this happened way back before the foundation of the world, before the world ever existed, before any people ever existed, how could God purpose to save anyone? Was it some unknown and unnumbered mass of humanity that he saw in his foreknowledge? Is that what God purposed to serve? An unknown mass of humanity, as many would say? No, that's not what God purposed to save through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us different. The Bible teaches us that God chose his people, that God knew his people and he chose his people. God didn't purpose to save an unnumbered and an unknown mass of humanity. God knew his people before the foundation of the world. How do I know that? Because of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. One is very familiar to you. But this is what it means. This is where it's tied in here. Listen to what it says. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God did some electing. That's what choosing means. To choose means to elect. What do you do when it's time to go to the polls and it's time to choose your representatives and your senators and your different governmental offices? What do? You go to the poll and you choose, and therefore somebody is elected by choice. Well, that's what God did. This is so plain here and it's so wonderful, and it's just such a foundational text right here in Ephesians 1:4, that according as he hath chosen us in him. And when did he do it? Before the foundation of the world. Okay, he chose us that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, and he also predestinated us. There's that word that some people, they don't know how to handle it. They don't know what to do with it. There's people in the world today that would just as soon ignore this word predestinated. But I'll tell you, beloved, I don't want to ignore it. I love this word. I've fallen in love with this word and with these texts and with these verses. This is God's word. This is God through the Holy Spirit inspiring the Apostle Paul to write these words down word for word. And he has preserved them. Not only has God chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, but he has predetermined our destiny unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Of course, all of it according to the good pleasure of his will. And it's to the praise of the glory of what? You and I making a decision or doing something else? No. To the praise of the glory of his grace. The praise of the glory of his grace wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. How about that? Can I just suggest something to you kindly this morning? Anytime that you hear someone talking about having to accept God or some subject or topic of having to somehow accept something in the gospel and make decisions and all that, I just would suggest that your mind go right to this verse. I'm not trying to encourage you that you need to take up an argument and be controversial with someone. I'm not saying that. I just want your mind to go right to this verse. And you say, you know what? I understand. Paul said that God hath made us accepted in the Beloved. I just want you to understand that. I hope your mind always goes to this verse. If there's any accepting going on, you know who did it? It's God that did it. He accepted you because he made you accepted. Amen. You know what he's doing? He's begun a work in you, hasn't he? Hasn't he begun a work in you? And this is part of that work, is that he has made you accepted in the Beloved. When did he do it? Before the foundation of the world, he's done these things. Isn't that something? You know, of course, last weekend, Brother Chris, he talked quite a bit about five things that are like an unbroken chain that also that God does in working together to continue this work and to bring his work to a conclusion and to a finish that's going to satisfy his will and about saving his people and how he's going to put the entire family of God in heaven with him some sweet day. How is God going to save all his people and get everyone there without losing any? Those five things were the foreknowledge. God foreknew his people. You know when God foreknew his people? How could God select someone and how could God choose to place his love on someone before the foundation of the world if the people didn't even exist yet? Well, the way he did it is because of his foreknowledge. Because he knew you before the foundation of the world. You just stay with me. We'll get there in just a minute. I'll try to prove it to you. God knew you before the foundation of the world. That's how he selected you. That's how he elected and chose you. And that's how he predestinated you. And that's how he declared that one day you'll stand holy and without blame before him in love. God knew you before the foundation of the world. He has foreknowledge. And over there in Romans 8, he says not only that, he predestinated. He predetermined your destiny. And he called you and he justified you and he glorified you. All five of those things like an unbroken chain working together to bring God's desires and his will and his counsel to bring it to pass. I'll tell you, friends, your God had a method that he designed of how to save you. And unlike most of the thing that you and I and many of men here in the world, we design things and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. God's purposes always work. And what he has designed here is absolutely perfect. God has begun a work in you. I hope you can see that it started a long time ago. But I hope that you always consider all of these different wonderful things that God has done to bring it to pass, to save you and to bring you into his family and to place you by adoption into his family. Always remember that God has made you accepted in the Beloved. Do you know that we couldn't make ourselves accepted if we wanted to? We're not able to. We have a big debt and we don't have anything to pay with. We don't have any acts of righteousness that we can come and offer God. We don't have any of that. But God has everything. God has the cattle of 1,000 hills, and he has all the gold of Ophir, and he has everything, and he is able to bring you unto him. And he does through this work. Isn't that a good thought this morning? That God is able to do this, and thinking about all of the things that God put in place even before the foundation of the world, before we're even here. He put this in motion. Do we not serve an awesome God? Do we not serve a wise God? Do you see the wisdom of God? Do you see how large and powerful he is? He's a great God that we serve. Amen. How could God choose someone and have thoughts and a purpose for them before they ever existed? Because of his foreknowledge. That's how. You know what God told Jeremiah? You remember what God said to him? God said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. He told that to Jeremiah. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Did you know that before God ever formed you in your mother's womb, did you know that God knew you? He did. He knows all of us. When did he know you? He knew you before the foundation of the world, because that's when he chose you and placed you in Christ for safekeeping. You see how that fits? He told Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Looks to me like God had begun a work in Jeremiah before he ever formed him in the womb. You know how little children are formed in the womb? God forms them. God forms children. The mystery of childbirth. I'll tell you, that's a whole subject in itself, is it not? The mystery of childbirth. You know how Jeremiah got formed? God's hands formed him in the womb of his mother. But God said, I knew you, Jeremiah, before I ever formed you. God knows you as well. You remember what David said in Psalms 139 about how God knows him? David said this in Psalms 139 and verse 13. David writes about his God and he says, thou hast possessed my reins. That means his heart, his soul, and his everything about who David is. Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. David says, my substance was not hid from thee. That word substance means our bones and our body and our strength, everything about us, everything about you and I. David says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. That means in the womb. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. That means incomplete. He says, God's eyes, he says, you saw my substance when I was yet incomplete, unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. You know what David just said? He said, God knew me, and he knew everything about me, and he wrote everything about me down in his book before there was any of me. That's our God, friends. Your God did the same for you. He did the same for Jeremiah. You know what God's doing? He has begun a good work for you. He has begun that work a long time ago, didn't he? I love how David says that. You know, one of the things that I always marvel at is that how the Bible opens up this vast treasure of knowledge for you and I. Concerning and how God has shared so many of the things that he has done on our behalf. Friends, if you and I did not have this book, if you and I did not have the Bible to read and to understand these things and to learn these things, we would never know all this just based on the normal, ordinary knowledge of man. You'd never figure out that God did all these things before the foundation of the world. You wouldn't know it. But how humbling is it that your God has shared this with you? Amen. He shared it so you and I can know. He is showing and telling us of his greatness and his great love for us that he had, and he placed his love upon us before we ever were here and before we were even made. God knew you. He still knows you. I hope that you know, not only did God know you before the foundation of the world and put all of these wonderful things in motion and in practice to start this good work concerning you and concerning your salvation. I hope that not only do you know that, but I also hope that you know and understand that God continues to do these things for you and I all the days of our life. He didn't just begin a work and then sit back and take a break and just kind of wind us up, wind the spring up and then set us out and let us go and however we go through life. That God didn't do that. God is still performing a work, and he's still helping you and I, and he's still concerned and still loving you and I all the days of our life. Why? Because Paul said, I'm confident. I have every reasonable, confident expectation and knowledge that God is doing this, that he started the work, and he's going to continue to perform it until the day, the sweet, beautiful, glorious day of Jesus Christ. He'll never stop performing the work. You know what that means to me? That teaches me that God will never turn his eyes away from his people and leave us to the dangers in the world and the evil that's in this world. God will never leave us and forsake us. In Psalms 124, listen at what David wrote about his Lord. This is so good, and it applies to you and I so much today. See if this doesn't ring a harmonious bell in your heart as you hear the words of David, what he wrote about his Lord in Psalms 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. The proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. David said, if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, he said, I would have succumbed to the evil and the wicked men who sought to destroy me. Beloved, I hope you know this morning, you know the same is true for you and I today. Brother Chris talked a little bit last week about all the things in this world that are against us. All the powers of evil, the powers of darkness, the spiritual wickedness in high places, all the demonic activity that is in the world today. Satan himself, all of those things are working against us, and they are against us. But aren't you glad to know this morning, like David said, if it had not been the Lord on my side, those things would have overtaken me. I want you to understand this morning, I hope you feel this way, that if God were not still on our side, we would still be overtaken by the wickedness that's in this world around us. There are people that want to destroy God's churches. Satan wants all the churches destroyed. He wants you to not be able to meet. He wants God's people to be tormented and to go around in fear, abject fear all the time. But God says, no, I'm still on your side. You know one thing God is doing whenever we come to his house and we come to worship him? You know one thing God does? He renews our spirits here. He strengthens and renews our spirits. If you didn't get your batteries charged up somewhat from last weekend services, I'm not sure what it would take to do that. I sure did. I sure was rejuvenated and reminded about how much the Lord still loves his people and how much he cares about us. And I was reminded about the great work that God has started in his people. And Paul says, I'm confident he's going to continue it. I love these thoughts. I mean, it makes me think about, it must feel like, I wonder what Jonah felt like when he was swallowed up in the belly of the whale and the seaweed began to wrap around his neck. What did it feel like down in the depths of the ocean in that darkness? David said, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, he said, they would have swallowed us up quick and when their wrath was kindled against us. The writer in Psalms 94 asked a question and said, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help. My soul had almost dwelt in silence when I said, my foot slippeth. Thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. The anonymous psalmist there in Psalms 94, he asked a good question, doesn't he? He said, who's going to rise up for me against the evildoers? Who's going to rise up for you, beloved, today against the evildoers of this world? All Christians today are able to sense and to feel the evil that's in the world around us, and it seems to be growing, and it seems to be growing darker and darker. But not here in the Lord's house. Not here in the Lord's kingdom. Not in our assemblies of the saints when we're able to gather together and we're able to look at God's word and the Holy Spirit will bless us to see and understand these things. It doesn't feel so bad then. I know during the week that every one of us have trials and tribulations. I know our faith is tried over and over again. But God is never going to leave you because he's begun this work, and Paul said he's going to continue the work. He is going to bring it to completion. You know what the psalmist said helped him? He said, my soul almost dwelt in silence. And he said, when my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. Has there ever been any times in your life where God's mercy held you up? Have you ever slipped? Have your legs ever felt weak and feeble? Has your footing and your pathway through life, has it ever seemed treacherous? Has it ever seemed slippery and rocky and steep and dangerous? Has the Lord's mercy ever held you up like the psalmist said God's mercy did for him? He said, when I slipped, when my feet slipped, God's mercy held me up. Beloved, I hope you know this morning God's mercy will always hold you up. There's no situation in life that's too difficult where God's mercy is not large enough or compassionate enough to reach down and to hold you up. I encourage you to always remember that. Paul told the Corinthians, he said, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. These old bodies we are carrying around, these tents that we live in, they're getting weaker by the day. Mine's getting more wrinkles. It's just getting weaker and more feeble by the day because of sin. We all have this sin problem that, once again, Brother Chris touched on out of Romans chapter 7 last weekend. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? We're all carrying around the body of death because of sins. But I want you to know, Paul told the Corinthians, he says, though our bodies and our flesh, the outward man is perishing, he said, yet the inward man, the soul and the spirit, is renewed day by day. Day by day, God renews his people. You know why? Because he's doing a work. God started a work and he's continuing the work. And one of the things you and I need is our soul and our spirit need renewing day by day in this world in which we walk in. You know what Solomon said in Proverbs 4:18? He said, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. How about your pathway? How about your personal pathway through life? Have you ever considered that? Have you ever thought that maybe there's a little part of my pathway in life where God has forgotten about me? Things have gone so bad, they've been so difficult, that maybe God has forgotten about me. Well, I want to assure you this morning, beloved, that is not the case. God has never forgotten you, nor will he ever forget you, because the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Our lives are getting better, beloved. They're getting better because each day goes by, we're getting one day closer to that perfect day. I'm saying the day of Jesus Christ. God is continuing the work that he began and initiated within us. And in fact, he started that work well before he ever spoke this world into existence. And he has continued that work one by one throughout the lives of his children. And did you know that your pathway through life, whatever winding pathways that life brings us to, it's like leading more and more, and like a shining light is the path of the just until the day of Jesus Christ. Our lives are getting better. I say that's wonderful. Jesus has begun a work in us. God has begun this work. You've been in his heart and on his mind. He knew you before you ever were. David said he wrote your members down in his book before they were ever formed in continuance. God knows everything about us and his children. He knows everything. God's not wondering who his family is. God knows who his family is. I believe the names of the family of God are engraved in his palms, like the high priest used to carry them on the onyx stones on his shoulder and upon the breastplate that the high priest used to wear with the names of the tribe of Israel. God knows who his family is. He's not wondering. That's how he was able to so efficiently start this work. Aren't you glad to know this morning that the God that started this good work on behalf of each and every one of us has continued it? I hope when you leave today, I hope you can say like the Apostle Paul did, that you have a great confidence that your God will continue this work that he started within you until the day of Jesus Christ. The Bible says it so. May God bless you.